Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. One thing that we talked about over and over and over, and I do have to say this to you, and Chris is lucky he's on vacation. Alex knows this because he's here every night.
Talk to me.
I've been talking to Chris and telling him about Dak Prescott, who Chris, after the first three games of the year, was talking about he was en route to being elite. He would never commit to Dak being an elite quarterback despite the numbers. If we remember, and let's go back to the first three games of the season, Dak threw for 400 yards and four touchdowns against the Giants.
Powerhouse defense.
Right? 269 yards and three touchdowns against the Redskins.
A Hall of Fame-worthy defense.
And then he had two touchdowns and 246 against the Dolphins,
who are Super Bowl bound.
There you go. Yeah. They were three. So the Cowboys were 3-0 and rolling. They were running away. Remember, the Eagles were struggling. Everybody was struggling in the division.
Against vomit.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it was. But here we go. The biggest game of the year was yesterday in Philadelphia for the division. The division is on the line.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys win, Jonas, they clinch the division. That'll be 3 out of 4 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay? And instead, they played the depleted, broken down, beat up Eagles. And all they have is Wentz in a lifetime, basically, and all these makeshift receivers. Their number one receiver is a former quarterback.
It's the most injury-riddled team I've seen at receiver. And, Rob, you've been covering and talking the NFL longer than I have. Have you ever seen a team this decimated with injuries at one position?
Not at all.
Gutted.
And they were supposed to come here, walk all over Philadelphia, and win the division.
They
right?
were favored.
Of course. But you know what happened? Dak Prescott couldn't even get a touchdown. And I don't want to hear about he's hurt his shoulder. Jonas, if you're hurt, don't play. Seriously.
Yeah.
If you're going to hurt your team, if you can't play. I don't want to hear about that after the fact. Because had he played well and they won, you know what they say? Oh, he's such a gamer. Oh, the intangibles. He went out there and played when he shouldn't have played and all that. But because he didn't play well, now people want to use that as a crutch. He hasn't played well basically all year against the better defenses. Dak Prescott, I don't care what people say, is not that guy. I've been telling Chris, his numbers are fraudulent. That's why he wasn't a Pro Bowler, right? Because when you look against the better teams, he struggles. Struggling.
Struggling.
Oh, there he is, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
When he plays against the also-Rans, what does he do? He lights it up, right? He takes advantage of them. And the Eagles were beat up. They're a better team on paper, but they're beat up. This was a game they're supposed to have. They didn't even get a touchdown. He overthrew guys. It was the most – and you could talk about – Jason Garrett, who's not a good coach, and I get it. Here's, you know, I did the Dan Patrick show this morning with Jason Smith.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that came out of it, which is just the greatest stat of all time. Since 2010, in all four major sports, there's only one guy on the list who's still currently a head coach since 2010 who hasn't won a championship. So anybody else who from 2010 who's still around has won a championship.
Yeah.
The only guy, Jason Garrett. Can you imagine that you could even last that long, a decade, and you haven't won anything? So I get the coaching. I get Jerry Jones running the Cowboys like a mom and pop store. But the Dak Prescott thing, I'm here to tell you, I've never bought in. If that's not Exhibit A yesterday to tell you that he's not the guy, and you could go ahead – and sign this guy to a $40 million a year contract or whatever they want to give him, I think he'll get a franchise. He's played himself into a franchise tag at least next year. You agree?
Yeah. And so I will – because there's a lot of layers to what happened to the Cowboys and that Eagles game that we'll be hitting on, of course, throughout the course of the show. But just sticking to Dak at this point and just looking at Dak Prescott, I have been, you know – just revealing all truth here, just letting you know and being totally honest, full disclosure, I have been a Dak truther through this whole thing. I've said Dak is going to get a contract. Dak deserves the contract based on where he was drafted, what he's done for the team so far. I felt like Dak deserved a contract, but I got to be honest with you. He has crapped the bed multiple times this season. Multiple times.
There was talk, Jonas, about them going to the Super Bowl, that they had everything. Am I right?
I think one of the other discussions, and I was making this point on my show, which I know you listen to religiously.
Yes.
On my show this weekend. I was saying, all we've been hearing about for as long as I've been covering and watching sports, and for I'm sure you've been hearing the same thing. What have we always, when they ask you what's more important, coaching or talent? What's the answer to that?
Talent.
100%.
I don't care what anybody says. You got the greatest coach out there. If you got dog meat for a team, you can't coach them up that much. You can't. It's about talent.
100%. So if I keep hearing that Dallas has got this talented roster and their roster is so loaded and they're so stacked at all these positions, why can't they overcome the lack of coaching that they have? Because all I keep hearing about is that it's Jason Garrett's fault and it's Jason Garrett this, but we've got this really, really talented roster. If you've got such a talented roster, shouldn't you be able to outplay the quote-unquote bad head coach that you play for? I'm not saying Jason Garrett's a great head coach, but I think he's been made the scapegoat for a team that's got more issues than anybody wants to be honest about. I think the roster's overrated. I think we've been fed a bowl of goods by Jerry Jones every offseason. Like, why do the Dallas Cowboys seemingly come into every season as a potential Super Bowl team? What have they done in 25 years?
They've won 4 playoff games in 25 years and haven't been back to the NFC Championship game since the last time they won the Super Bowl.
Jerry Jones,
that's how long it's been.
Jerry Jones has been selling us crap. He's been selling us a crap pie every holiday season, and every time we go to take a bite out of it, we realize, oh, there's flies flying around it. Yeah, this is another crap pie by Jerry Jones. Every year I hear about the same crap, and every single year, here we are, 7-8, 9-7. They made a run in the postseason a couple of years ago, but Dak Prescott actually played well, but their defense couldn't hold Aaron Rodgers back, and Mason Crosby hit 2 bomb shots to finish that game. I'm tired of hearing about how great this roster is, and Dak Prescott, for as much of a Dak Prescott truther as I've been, he has not been good in big moments this year.
No, not at all. And people have to really take a good look at him. I just wasn't buying it, and I think who you beat matters.
Maybe he's Kirk Cousins.
You know, he could.
I mean, look what the Redskins did with Kirk Cousins. The Redskins basically told you what they felt about Kirk Cousins.
And you know what? You're 100% right. And the thing I always believed about what the Redskins did, which was so unusual, is remember, they drafted him. Yep. He was their guy. They watched every single snap in his entire career and would never commit to him.
Yep. And he was 4th round pick, too.
Right? Yep. And they wouldn't commit. They just didn't feel like. And they paid him a lot of money, franchise tagging him, but they just wouldn't give him that contract. He goes to Minnesota. When you look at his record against the good teams, and this is always what we talk about, when I say, is he that guy, can he win a game for you when the defense isn't good or when the running game isn't? That's the guy I'm talking about. Right. We've seen it. You can say whatever you want about Aaron Rodgers. When they don't have a running game and their defense gives up 40, could he beat a team for you? Aaron Rodgers?
100%.
He has. Yes, and that's what I'm talking about being that guy. Everything doesn't have to be perfect for him to win.
And look, the Kirk Cousins situation in Washington, he was a mid-round draft pick just like Dak Prescott. He was there for long enough, and there was enough of a sample size for Washington to decide they want to keep him long-term. And Washington still, after all of that, and a playoff appearance, was not sold on Kirk Cousins. They were not sold on him, which is why you talk to any general manager, anybody that's ever worked in a front office anywhere, you know what they tell you? The best players never hit free agency because those teams always retain them.
No doubt. And what's the hardest thing to get in the NFL? Is a franchise quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So you don't mess around with a franchise. The Cowboys signed everybody else who was available on their own guys.
Right.
Except for Dak Prescott. Yeah. If he's that guy, you don't mess around. Dude, we getting a deal done. You're our guy. Let's get you paid and let's go on from there. Everybody said, well, his agent, well, they want more money. I think this year he played himself out of some money.
Yeah.
Because right now, no one would commit any big-time money or a big contract to a Dak Prescott.
I think, to your point, I think he's probably going to get franchise. And look, here's where Dallas finds himself in an interesting spot. And it makes the most sense. You franchise him because you're bringing in a new coach next year. Maybe there's a coach out there who can really bring the most out of Dak Prescott. And if that's a perfect match and you feel like that works, a la Jared Goff and Sean Payton, right, if you believe in those two guys in that combination, then you can work on maybe another long-term deal. But as of right now, Dak will be coming back next year, but it'll be on a franchise tag.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio.
We are talking about the Cowboys, and there's one guy to go to, a good friend of mine. We used to work together in New York at Newsday back in 1995. That's how long I've known Calvin Watkins from the Dallas Morning News. Calvin, welcome to the Odd Couple. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Doing great. Say hi to Jonas Knox.
What's up, Calvin? Hey, how are you, man?
Good, bro.
So what's going on in Dallas? Are people, they got their panties in a bunch? How bad is it?
It's pretty bad. That was a game against the Eagles they expected to win, and they did not. And obviously all hell has broken loose, and I think the fans are about done with the head coach, Jason Garrett. They've been done with Jerry Jones, but he's not going anywhere. So there's all kinds of drama going on around here, but they got one, maybe two more games left.
Wow. And when you talk about that, what about the performance by Dak Prescott? Yes, there were some drops, but he missed a couple of receivers as well. For him not to be able to get a touchdown in such an important game, and we've seen him struggle against better defensive teams and flourish against bad teams defensively. What is the feeling about Dak's year?
I think everyone overall, when you look at it overall, he's had a very good season. I mean, this is a guy who's leading the NFL in passing yards and quarterback ratings. And completion percentage. There was a stretch in the early part of the season when he was like near perfect in the third quarter. But like his team, he's had some inconsistencies in the last month and a half of the season. He's got a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. He was a limited participant in practice all last week. And then we get to the ball games, and his throws were off a little bit. That might have had something to do with the fact that he didn't really throw a lot in practice last week. But overall, everyone thinks he has had a very good season. But as you know, Rob, when you're not winning games in December, the quarterback takes a lot of the blame.
No doubt about it.
He is. Calvin Watkins covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas News, joining us here on
Dallas
Fox
Morning.
Sports Radio. Oh, on Twitter, it's at Dallas News.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have they changed the name of the paper or not?
I mean, the name of the paper is the Dallas Morning News.
Okay.
But, when you go to in the internet, it's dallasnews.com.
See, so okay, like, Jonas is right. All right.
Jonas is right.
Yeah, we're both right. We're both right. Calvin, I was making this point that we've been hearing, and I know you in covering the NFL and sports for a long time, Rob the same. All I've ever heard my entire life is that talent is more important than coaching. When people bring up the Belichick-Brady argument, they always go back to what Belichick was before he had Brady and he got fired by the Cleveland Browns. Well, mm-hmm. If that's the case, and if the Cowboys roster that I've been hearing about is so talented, why can't they overcome this subpar coaching by Jason Garrett? And so I guess the question is, how overrated has this Dallas roster been now that we're sitting here 1 week left to go in the season?
I think you're absolutely right. I think we overrated this roster a little bit. Now coaching has something to do with it.
I think
you should be able to coach them up a little bit. When you see things in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, got those guys in the playoff picture with the third string quarterback. And then, you know, you see other teams with like Cleveland, and you see that talent and they might not even make the playoffs. So yeah, some of it is coaching and some of it is talent. It's a combination of both. In this case with the Cowboys, I think we overrated some of their talent, especially on defense. Some of their better players are probably having an average or below average year. DeMarcus Lawrence could be having an average season based on what he's done in the past. Offensively, I think Amari Cooper has struggled down the stretch. I think Zeke has been fine. They just haven't used him enough. The offensive line has been really good. They got the highest paid offensive line in the game. But overall, the talent is just has been average. They've been trying to replace the starting strong safety for the last 3 years, and they just won't pay anybody or draft anybody. You know, they got about 6 or 7 guys that are going to be unrestricted free agents on the defensive side of the ball, and I can't see any of them coming back. They benched the starting corner yesterday, Chido Awuzie, in that game. So I tell you right there what they think about the talent. So I think it was a little bit of us in the media overrating the talent and the coaches' inability to coach them up, as they like to say.
Well, I mean, we saw, you know, Seattle's banged up at running back, and they brought back Marshawn Lynch. If there's an issue at safety, what's Roy Williams doing? I mean, maybe bring him back. Is that a possibility or not?
I think Roy is singing in the choir now.
Okay. All right, good. He's busy.
So Calvin, what do we really expect? We know Jerry Jones, he runs the Cowboys like a mom and pop store. It's his toy, and he only wants a coach who's going to do what he wants and listens to him. Is he going to finally give in if they don't make the playoffs and it's a disaster of a year? A lot of people thought they were going to make it to the Super Bowl. Will he give in and go hire a coach who will push back against him? You know what I mean, and give him control. Mm-hmm. Will that happen?
Well, the last time he did this, it was 2003, and he hired Bill Parcells.
Right.
And that still didn't get him a championship. However, Parcells fixed the franchise, you know, because the franchise was in disarray after the triplets. So Parcells fixed the franchise. But as you guys know, Bill Parcells can wear you down, you know. So they had to get rid of Bill. Well, Bill retired, obviously. And then he brought in Wade Phillips, who's this folksy, grandfatherly-like coach, a Texas-born, bred guy, and he was great. But, you know, the team didn't respond to him when they needed to, so then he hires Jason Garrett, whose dad was a longtime scout here. Garrett's best friend is Troy Aikman. He was a backup quarterback. You guys know the whole story.
Yeah.
Right.
So Garrett was hired before Wade when Garrett became the offensive assistant. And so now you've had Garrett here for 10 years, and the best you can do is get to the second round of the playoffs. So to be honest with you, I don't know where the Cowboys go for the next head coach because they do have some talent here, but someone has to revamp the defense and quickly, you know, very, very quickly because some teams are surpassing them in the NFC like San Francisco is, you know. So I would think that you try to find someone who knows Jerry Jones, knows how to handle Jerry or deal with Jerry. Mike Zimmer, if he gets let go in Minnesota, that's a possibility because Zim coached here in Dallas. I don't think you go with Ron Rivera. You know, Stephen Jones loves Lincoln Riley, the coach at Oklahoma. But as one agent told me like 2 weeks ago, you're a god at college. So why come to the pros where an owner can just fire you after one bad season?
Right.
You know? So, you know, Jerry, I'm sure when he hired Jason Garrett, was figuring, I got the right guy. You know? But he doesn't have the right guy because we're not going to have a parade anytime soon.
Calvin, last one for me before we let you go here. In covering the Cowboys for as long as you have, and just nationally, I mean, I've kind of, obviously not as indebted as you, but I kind of gotten the vibe of Jerry Jones throughout the past several years. This year feels different. I mean, 1 week he's crying after the Thanksgiving game, and then the next week he's shutting a radio station down because he's saying the S-bomb too many times. Like, he feels like he's all over the place. Emotionally, is Jerry Jones a different guy this year?
I would say he's the same, but as my wife likes to tell me, as you get older, you get more emotional, more sensitive.
We saw Dick Vermeil. Do you remember he cried? He cried when somebody passed him the salt and pepper.
Yes. Now, Jerry was crying after one of the games. He had tears in his eyes, you know, because Michael Bennett had an emotional speech in the locker room. So he was a little emotional there, and he's fired up. I mean, he's going to cuss and scream. He's fired up. If he wants to win a championship badly, and when it doesn't work out, it hurts him really bad. I remember the day they hired Wade Phillips, he was almost crying because he said, I want to get this right, and this means a lot to me. And so you have to appreciate that from an owner, you know, that from a team that, like, he cares. Now, whether or not his methods are working, that's another story for another day. But this man does care, and he is very emotional right now.
Hey, Calvin, man, great stuff as always, man. Merry Christmas to you and your family, as always.
Thanks, same to Gallagher. You. Same to you guys.
All right,
appreciate
bro. Thank you. Care. Appreciate it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We started off the show talking about the situation in Philadelphia yesterday. Dak Prescott comes up short.
Comes up small.
You decided, you know what? Why, it's the holiday season, so you put on your brand new pair of Jordans and you danced on Dak's grave.
No, I didn't dance.
You danced on his grave.
It was a two-step.
You did a two-step on his corpse, and you made it be known that you had called your shot on the Dak Prescott situation.
And even when they were 3-0 and he had put up those big numbers, I think he had 10 touchdowns or something the first three games.
Yeah, and so I was always a Dak truther heading into the season. I thought Dak deserved a contract, but I have, you know, got to eat some humble pie and say, all right, listen, I look like I got it wrong, and so you have been consistent this whole way through. Here's one place that you and I do agree on. This hype for the team that won 11 games in 4 years, Cleveland Browns, going into the season, what the F, man? It didn't make any sense to me.
Even
I didn't
the networks
it.
Bought into it, Jonas. They had like four national games.
Vegas bought into it. They were the favorite to win the division. Like it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand why all of a sudden the logical next step from finally win a game. Like when this is how bad that team was last year. They were doing a deal around the country to where if they won a game, Bud Light coolers would automatically open at random sports bars across the country. When you are celebrating a regular season win by automated Bud Light coolers opening up around the country, how you go from that to we're going to be a threat in the AFC playoffs, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. They were eliminated yesterday by the Baltimore Ravens, and it just looked
and
like...
And it wasn't pretty.
No, and look, Cleveland was in that game and leading that game early on, and then all of a sudden the two-minute warning came before halftime, and it was meltdown city, and there was no looking back. They had no shot. They looked like they were the much more inferior team to the Baltimore Ravens. I don't understand the hype. I didn't get the hype. I didn't get what everybody was talking about. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to finish with a better season than the Cleveland Browns, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing with two quarterbacks whose names are Mason and Duck. I mean, come on, man. At some point, you guys and you Brown fanboys out there have to acknowledge we were wrong.
Absolutely. And I never bought into it either. I predicted that they would, A, not make the playoffs. I'm going to remind Colin of this because I was on his show. He thought they were going to make a run late and get into the playoffs. I never bought into it. And the whole idea, Freddie Kitchens, who they tried to force on every coach who they interviewed, right? And people decided that, no, you know what? You're not going to give me my offensive right. coordinator because he had a relationship with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's numbers last year were all fraudulent. They won only one game against a team over 500, which was the Baltimore Ravens, 12-9, when Flacco stunk it up so badly he lost his job. That was the only game. They put up all these big numbers against a bad Bengals team and defense that was giving up 500 yards a game for four straight games, and I think the Browns did it twice in that stretch. But and the other thing was, oh, they got OBJ. Oh my God, you know, like, and then they got Kareem Hunt. Wait till he gets back and all this stuff, and everybody was like looking at the town of the mass, and I just kept saying, I don't see it. They didn't beat anybody last year. You got an unproven rookie coach who only got the job because nobody else would take it, right? After he was forced on them.
Right.
And then so Baker this year regressed. OBJ had like his worst year. I think one of his worst year in the NFL this year, who's like invisible, who hadn't even put up any kind of numbers. Jarvis Landry wasn't the same guy as he was a year ago. I mean, look at what happened. And I'm not surprised that it crashed, it burned, and they're in the spot that they're in, which is out on the outside looking in.
And look, on the Baker Mayfield subject, so you agree that Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback?
No,
right?
I agree with that, yes.
Compare sophomore seasons in the NFL between Mitch Trubisky and Baker Mayfield, and Trubisky had a better year, and it's not even close. Like, not even close. That is how bad Baker Mayfield has been this year at certain times throughout the season. And on the Freddie Kitchens front, if you found out after the fact, and we'll use the Jordans comparison, say you were quote-unquote bidding on a pair of Jordans.
Right.
All right? And you pay whatever price you pay to get this pair of Jordans. And then afterwards, you find out that nobody was really bidding on those other Jordans. You were the only one. Wouldn't you take a second guess and go, okay, well, maybe these aren't the greatest Jordans. If nobody else was in
Nobody else was in, right.
Nobody else was going to hire Freddie Kitchens as a head coach. He was not up for the job anywhere else in the NFL, yet the Browns made him their head coach. There were no interviews. There was no interest. There was no poking and prodding. Nobody reached out to see what's... Nobody. And the Browns went with Freddie Kitchens because they tried to, as you pointed out, force him on other coaches.
And you, when you're a head coach, you can't give me my staff.
No. And you shouldn't play that game. And there's recent examples of it throughout the NFL. The 49ers, after they moved on from Jim Harbaugh, and the whole issue was with ownership and management and all the Jim Harbaugh stuff, they wanted to hire Adam Gase as their head coach. Adam Gase was this hot commodity coming out of Denver. They thought he was a bright offensive mind. And when Adam Gase was up for the job, they told him, you can have the job, but you've got to keep Jim Tomsula as your defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Adam Gase said, no, I want Vic Fangio. They said, no, it's either Jim Tomsula or you don't get the job. Adam Gase said, okay, bye. Guess what happened? Jim Tomsula got the job. And then a year later, Chip Kelly got the job. And then a year after that, they hired Kyle Shanahan. Once you start down this road, it's problematic. And the Browns started down this road because they told guys like Mike McCarthy,
yes,
reportedly, that you've got to keep Freddie Kitchens on your staff. Hold on. You're going to tell Mike McCarthy,
who won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right.
And by the way, there's 32 men walking the face of the earth as head coaches who have won a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy's one of those. You're going to tell that guy, the Browns are going to tell that guy, hey, listen, buddy, that's great what you did in the past, but you're keeping our guy's offensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy said, a pass. I'm out. Get out of here with this. It just, the whole setup was bad. And now that you look back on it, you go, yeah, this didn't seem like it was going to work from the beginning.
100%. But yet people brought in, the networks couldn't wait to put them on. OBJ,
God.
Oh, Cleveland, oh yeah, you know, I'm leaving the Big Apple. It's all right, Cleveland, I'll be good there. No, you think he wants to be? It's one thing to get traded out of New York, right? And he's
right.
The Mr. Flashy Clubs, the whole nine yards.
Right.
You get traded out of New York, you go to Cleveland, and not only are you in Cleveland, you're losing. You're not even going to the playoffs.
Right.
It's not like you're not. You didn't have a great year. They were supposed to be like, how could you guard those guys? Oh, my God, they're going to rip up the NFL. Baker Mayfield, oh, this is unbelievable.
It's crazy,
and they got
man.
A running, because Nick Chubb is good. He's the only guy who had a great year for them. But with him and Kareem Hunt, right, this was supposed to be a party.
It's like they tried to buy brand new tires for a car with no engine. Get the engine first, get that thing on the road, and then figure out the tires. Instead of wanting to build the team the right way, they wanted to go flash first. You know, they wanted to go, it's like every guy, like when guys move into a place with other guys and it's a big bachelor pad.
Right.
One of the first conversations guys have are, hey, we got to get a kegerator over there, and we got to get this cold beer sign over there, and we got to, well, pragmatic people who don't think like that think, well, hold on, why don't we make sure that, like, you know, we've got, you know, the dishwasher installed, the
right.
bathroom doesn't have any issues, there's no plumbing problems. Like, no. The Browns decided, all right, kegerator over there, and then there's Kareem Hunt, we'll put him over there. No, how about build the offensive line? How about, you know, work on other aspects of your team to try and build a winner? They didn't want to do that. They went flash first.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Check. Everybody hear me?
My sources say these two have been covering sports for nearly three decades apiece.
I will say this.
Let's put the Big J journalist to the test.
It's sources say.
All right, here we go. Ryan Bershinger, by the way, just did stretches for this. He just loosened up for this segment, so he's going to bring the heat.
All right, Ryan, let's do it.
Been feeling a little tight, but now it's time to let this energy loose. So my sources say, this is the sources say on Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. We look at a couple stories around the world of sports, and maybe my sources are good, maybe they're not. You guys will decide whether or not they're good. So first off, my sources say Boban Marjanovic.
Gesundheit.
Oh, thank you.
My God.
His acting career is continuing. It's thriving. Obviously, he appeared in John Wick 3 last year.
He was good.
He was great. Yeah. And he got beaten down. It was wonderful. But he can also be seen in the newest Star Wars film. That's right. As a large creature on the planet Kijimi. Are my sources good on this one? Rob, we'll start with you.
So convenient. Didn't that movie just come out? And yeah, it's easy to say he was a creature that we couldn't tell. So I'm going to say no. False.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no as well, too, because, Star Wars is for nerds, and Boban doesn't strike me as a nerd, so I'm going to go no.
You sit on a throne of lies.
We got it. There it
is. Come on, man.
That's right.
Can't run that by us, that weak stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, Boban did not appear in Star Wars, but he would have fit in well on
That was like, do you remember the TV show Land of the Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Lambier was a sleaze stack. Remember that?
It's just like not even. Like, where
Google
do you come
it.
Up with
Google
this
it.
Stuff? I mean, this is ridiculous.
All right, go ahead.
Speaking of NBA big men, my sources say Celtics big man Enes Kanter has said he's been talking to folks at the WWE about getting into wrestling once his NBA career is over.
I thought his career was over.
Oh, sorry. Jeez.
Are my sources good on this one, Jonas?
All right, I'm going to say that your sources are good because I know for a fact that he's a WWE fan, and I believe he's got the persona to possibly pursue it. I'm going to say yes.
100%. He's all into that, the wrestling and the I, 100%.
Yeah. Yes. All right, like two
there
for two,
go.
Baby. Two
there
for two.
All right, next up, sources say Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. My sources say Tamara Ecclestone, daughter of Formula One racing boss Bernie Ecclestone, had $67 million in jewelry stolen from her home in London. Rob, are my sources good on this one?
That's got to be $67 million worth of jewelry at home. I just can't. If I'm the insurance company, I need receipts. I'm not buying that.
Hold on. So you said Formula One? This is the business they're in? Yeah.
Yeah.
When's the last time you watched a Formula One race?
When I was a baby, I had Formula One.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I've watched. I don't think there's the type of revenue in Formula One that's going to give you $67 million worth of jewelry. I call BS.
Oh my God,
that's
actually
true.
Actually happened.
What?
Yep. Look that's at that.
How could she have that much jewelry at the house?
She's almost as rich as you, Rob Parker.
Unbelievable.
Almost as wealthy as you.
All right.
Rob Parker.
Squeezing last one.
Real quick.
My sources say a selfie that Josh Allen took with a fan last weekend is now on display at a Buffalo Art Museum. Are my sources good?
Nah.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
True.
I'm going to say no.
True.
Damn it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I won.
Unbelievable. Rob Parker,
you know,
winner.
It's crazy the things you discover on this show, and we are brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you.
Yes.
All right. We will dive into Rob Parker dancing on the grave of an NFL player.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.